Well, I'm excited about a new series that we're going to start today. Some of these teachings have been at my website for a long, long time, but they've not been there in any kind of modern format. We're going to start a series today called From Formula to Relationship. And many of these are early principles that the Lord taught me in the very beginning. I was a product of the TV preachers of the 80s before we ever met Pastor Dave Roberson and learned how to meditate the Word of God for myself and how to sit in the classrooms of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pray the mysteries through me so my understanding could become fruitful. And of course, I'm not going to teach all of those things. Thank God we have all of the teachings of Pastor Dave Roberson still at his website. And that's just daveroberson.org, daveroberson.org. Highly recommend everything that's there. And I have taught some of these principles live over the years. Some of them you'll find in the Kingdom Finance section of the website. But to be honest, I taught most of it so long ago. It was before we had YouTube and MP3s and I feel like the Lord is telling me He wants me to go through that whole section there and teach it now in modern format. And so you'll have it if you want to listen to it in your car, be refreshed of these things. There are principles here that I have still yet never heard taught anywhere else, and I'm sure other people know it. I'm just saying I haven't heard it. But these changed my life. And what you're going to see, I have them printed. I'm going to stay very close with these as I do the reading part. I've added a lamp, you might notice, in the back here to help me read so I don't have to look down so much. And I want to keep make eye contact with you. But what matters is the truth and understanding the truth. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I thank God for His Word, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit. You know, God gave us not only a book, He also gave us a teacher. I think that's where we learned that from in our schools. We don't just give our students a book and say, there you go. No, we give them a book and we give them a teacher. And we got that from God. He gave us His Word in the form of a book, the Holy Bible. But He also gave us the teacher so we don't have to rely on our own understanding. Thank God for that. Now, many of these, I'm taking you back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. When Sue and I went full-time into the ministry, our Gary Carpenter Ministries was incorporated in 1996. And many of these lessons were things that were learned 96, 97, 98, and beyond. But they changed our lives, and they're foundational. They're things that had to be understood, or things would just not have worked out the way they did, let me say it that way. Now, again, the title of the series is From Formula to Relationship, and there's going to be many subtitles within that series. Today, we're going to just call it the introduction. This is the introduction. Now, let me just read for a while, and then as the Holy Spirit prompts me by vision or by voice, and I'll ad lib, if you'll allow me, I guess, say it that way. Whatever he says, I'll say that. Okay, have you ever heard the phrase, before we start, if you want to print your own copy of these, you can go to garycarpenter.org. Over on the right-hand side of the home page, you'll see a word that says articles. If you click on articles, then you'll see a page that has all of these listed. And the first section is called From Formula to Relationship. So if you want to print your own copy, now there's other things that I've printed later as time went on, that if there's any additions, then we'll make new PDFs and we'll put them out beside the video like we always do. So, but if you want a copy to follow along, garycarpenter.org, articles, then there they are. Okay, have you ever heard the phrase, one word from God can change your life forever? That is so true. I'll never forget May 2nd, 1996. It was during mine and Sue's first year of being full-time in the ministry. to the best of our knowledge, at the time, we were obeying everything that he had told us to do. Yet, we were struggling terribly financially. That's those days when I say money was staying away in great abundance. There was often times when we didn't really know where our next biscuit was coming from. More than once, it was time to eat, but there was nothing in the house. And there would be the doorbell would ring, or we'd get a phone call, somebody bringing food or inviting us out to eat. It was exciting, but scary. And we were just barely making it. I mean, barely. Okay, struggling financially. I imagine you can relate to that. Now, I knew that that was not his perfect will for us. I even knew it then. But it didn't seem that I could break out of that barely surviving stage when it comes to prosperity. Now, at the time, I was serving the Lord. We were both serving him full time, spending lots of time in prayer and lots of time in Bible study and lots of time in counseling people and lots of time doing ministry. So we were serving the Lord, but the truth of it is I did not know the Lord very well in those days. Consequently, because I didn't know the Lord Jesus very well, I didn't know my Heavenly Father very well either. Now in those days, my relationship with the Father was still pretty much performance-centered. Let me say it this way. I only had a relationship by formula when it came to my Heavenly Father. I felt like, well, if I did this, then he would do that. Because our financial needs were very great, I was daily in the frame of mind, how can I get God to meet my needs? I know you've never thought that. I was following every formula that I had been taught when it comes to prospering financially in the kingdom. See, I don't want to... Right there, I started mentioning different... You could turn on Christian television today and you'll find the same formulas being preached. And it's not that they're absolutely wrong. It's just not the whole truth, okay? It's real easy to develop a formula relationship with God. If I do this, he will do that. Okay? Anyway, let me keep reading. You'll see the correction that the Holy Spirit had to make with me. So let me read that sentence again. I was following every formula that I had ever been taught when it comes to prospering financially in the kingdom. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. He came to my rescue one day after a season of praying in other tongues, and he said to me, quote, "This thought never went through the mind of Jesus. What must I do today to get the Father to meet my needs?" End of quote. To me, at the time, that was an incredible statement. Because it seemed that all my waking hours were consumed with that same thought. What must I do today to get the Father to meet my needs? So I asked the Holy Spirit, did you know it's okay to talk to the Holy Spirit? Did you know it's okay to ask questions? It is. He is your teacher. He is your mentor. So I asked the Holy Spirit, well, if Jesus didn't think like that, how did he think? Seemed like a good question. How did he think? And the Holy Spirit responded, I'll never forget it. He believed that he was his Father's son, an heir of all that the Father had. Life-changing. One sentence can change your life. See, I did not realize at the time that those two short statements from the Holy Spirit would change our lives forever, but they did. The whole reason for our financial struggles in the kingdom of God were based on this simple fact. I did not have, in those days, the revelation of sonship. I still considered myself to be an outsider somewhat, seeking to obtain the blessings of God based on my performance. Think about it like this. There is a vast difference in the thinking of an employee of a rich man compared to the thinking of a son of the rich man. The employee's relationship financially with the rich man is completely based on his performance. But the son's relationship financially with the rich man is based on his inheritance. The employee is paid wages according to his labor. The son receives freely from his inheritance because the rich man is his father. Wow. I got to read that sentence again. Well, I felt his pleasure when I read that. See, the employee of the rich man is paid wages according to his labor. But the son receives freely from his inheritance because the rich man is his father. Wow. By grace alone, through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father has adopted us into his family. He has made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a vast inheritance laid up for us. And the teachings in this section, they will lay a solid foundation to help you appropriate from that inheritance. I'm telling you, it is a complete change of a mindset. Complete change of mindset. Now see, the Holy Spirit told me one time that everything that's ever happened with me, he uses in this teaching ministry that he's given me. See, the way it turned out, I grew up in a family. We were not rich by any stretch of the imagination, but we were well off. We were middle class or a little higher, not wealthy though. But I grew up in a family business. My dad had a construction business, and I grew up in that. So, of course, as I got old enough, he wanted me to work in the business and learn the business, and I did, and I got paid wages, don't get me wrong. And in fact, being the son of the owner of the business, I had to do twice as much because everybody expected me to get off easy. So, you know, and I think Dad kind of had that idea too, because it seemed to me I got all the dirty tasks because he didn't want to be accused of showing favoritism, you know. So I worked hard is what I'm saying. And I got paid a wage. But see, here's the difference. When everybody else went home at the end of the day, they had to go home and, you know, use their money to provide for themselves. Now, until I got old enough to leave home, don't get me wrong. But in my teens, you know, I'm working, we're out doing concrete work. But at the end of the day, I don't leave and go somewhere else. I'm still living in my father's house. Go home and I'm going to eat at Father's table. And listen, my mama could cook. Well, she starts bringing in the fried chicken and the mashed potatoes and gravy and the green beans cooked with onions and bacon now. I'm talking the real deal here now. And one thing about my dad, he always wanted a homemade pie every day. He says, I like both kinds of pie. And you go, what? Yeah, I like both kinds, hot and cold. Either one is fine. But my mom would bake a pie every day. Now, my dad was a big man. I'm not a big man, but my dad was. And, you know, he could eat a half a pie at one setting and never gain an ounce. I mean, he would just, but he worked hard too, but he was a big man. Broad at the shoulder, narrow at the hip, and nobody gave any lip to O.R. Carpenter, I guarantee you. I remember he used to have a stand, I'll tell you how strong my dad was. He used to have this standing offer. He'd give any of these concrete drivers that would come, you know, the guys driving the trucks. Dad says, if you can ever bring a pair of wire pliers that I can't collapse with one hand, I'll give you $100. Man, I have seen them bring wire pliers that you wouldn't believe. You know, they think surely O.R. can't collapse that one. Dad would take it and go, kh. I mean, I've never saw it even be a strain for him. He could collapse. I've seen him take an apple. Most people can't do this. Try taking an apple. Just a regular apple, not a little bitty one, but not a huge one, just a normal apple. And my dad could just go and squish that apple would go everywhere. Try that. Not many people can do it. That's my dad. He was always really strong. He liked to have a pie every day, and Mom would make him a pie every day. So, but the point is, I worked hard. I'm an employee. I got paid. I got paid a wage like everybody else. But the difference is, at the end of the day, being the employee, being the son, man, I had a room in the house. I got to eat at the dinner table. I got to sit there and watch Gunsmoke with Dad. That's back in the day, black and white TV, Gunsmoke. There were two times that the children, you better be quiet, church and Gunsmoke. Anyway, you younger ones are going, what? What's Gunsmoke? It was a TV show, a real popular TV show that my dad liked at the time. Okay, I digress. Now, the issue is sonship, though. See, I had that experience growing up with my earthly father to have an idea of the difference between the mindset of just an employee and the mindset of a son who's serving in the family business. See, I've got a series out there. If you've never heard it, it's called The Serving Son. Jesus is absolutely the fully mature, perfect Son of God. Yet he was the son who chose to serve full time in the kingdom, which is his Father's kingdom. Our Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He understood. He was serving. He's the king of the kingdom, but it's thy kingdom. Okay. So he was the son, the fully mature son, but he chose to serve in the kingdom of God. But he didn't live by like an employee. He is the Father's son. He's the heir. We'll get to more of that here in a minute. In fact, if you want to see a really good example of this, you can go to Luke 15, and I didn't look up the whole passage, but I'm talking about the story of the prodigal son. And normally we focus on the prodigal, and that's good. I'm just going to summarize real quick most of the story for time's sake, because we've got quite a bit to cover here. But you know the story. The father had two sons, and one of them, he wanted his inheritance now. Give me that portion which falls to me. So he understood that he was a son and that he had an inheritance. He didn't come and ask for wages, did he? No. Give me my inheritance. I want it now. And you know the story. He took his inheritance and he went out and he squandered it on the world. And he was accused of wasting it on harlots, for crying out loud. And no doubt he, you know, maybe it was like a Mardi Gras time, fast women and booze. And I don't know what all he did, but it didn't take him long. He burned through all that inheritance and he's out of money. And he's not in his father's house anymore because he chose the world over his father. And so living a life of debauchery and sin, he finally ran out of money. And so he finally took a job feeding pigs. Now listen, for a Jewish boy, life doesn't have to get much lower than that. That's about as low as you can go. You know, they weren't allowed to eat pigs in the first place. And now he's serving the pigs. God, I mean, what a perfect picture of what sin will do to you. And he's so hungry. Now, if you can imagine, see, I had an uncle, one of my dad's brothers, raised pigs. I know what it smells like. I've been on that pig farm many times. You know the thing about, they always say, don't wrestle with a pig in the mud. I mean, because the pig enjoys it. He'll outlast you every time, you know. You're both going to get really dirty, but the pig likes it. Well, anyway, those, man, where the pigs are, it's stinky. They'll eat just about anything. And if you've ever poured the swill into the pig trough, I mean, it's the leftovers of everything. It's not really appetizing, okay? And you pour that in there, and this prodigal son now, he has been reduced to the point. He's so hungry. He's almost ready. He's almost ready to put his face in the trough and eat along with the pigs. Man, sin will bring you low. But finally it says he came to himself. Thank God that God doesn't give up on us. Thank God he finally came to himself. And again, I'm just summarizing, but he says, I'm going to return to my father's house. And he started rehearsing how he was going to approach the father, because he knew he had sinned and wasted the inheritance. And he says, I'm going to tell the father I've sinned and I'm no more worthy to be called his son. And if he'll just make me a hired employee. I know he's got a lot of hired employees, hired servants. And they all, they've got enough money. He pays them well. And I'll say, Father, just make me like a hired servant. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. And I'll just come back to you based on that. I'm sorry, I repent. Well, you know the story. I have to tell this part because I just can't stand to not tell it. You know, because the story says the father saw him coming a long way off. Boy, if that doesn't tell you about the heart of our Father towards us while we were yet sinners. How did the Father happen to see this Son after who knows how long he was gone? Maybe it was years. But still, the Father saw him. He saw him coming from a long way off. What does that tell you? The Father was looking for him. The Father's heart was aching every day. Looking down that road, I can just picture maybe there's a porch on the house and a long, dusty road. I can just see the Father maybe several times a day go out on the porch. Maybe today's the day. Maybe today. Maybe my son will come home today. I love my son. Maybe today. No telling how many days, weeks, months, years went by. He'd look down that road, no, not today. Then one day, he looks, his eyes got big. Can it be? Can it be? It's my son, and you know what it says? The father didn't sit there with his arms folded and patting his foot and just waiting on, you know, with some kind of, I'm going to wait till he gets up here and begs my forgiveness before I'll receive him. No. Father saw him and ran. The father ran to the son, hugged him, put kisses on his neck. And sure enough, the son started this speech that he had been rehearsing. Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. So he's right. He's about to go into this, just make me as one of your hired servants. And the father stopped him dead in his tracks. He didn't want no hired servant. He wanted his son. He stopped him before he could even say it. He said, no. Then he starts talking to his servants. You kill the fatted calf. You bring the finest robe. You bring the signet ring. Bring his royal sandals to put on his feet. Let's have a big party and rejoice because this, my son, was dead and is found. He was lost. He's dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. Let's rejoice. Oh, my goodness. I so relate to that story. But that's not the lesson for today. The lesson for today is really to focus on the elder son. I've had my prodigal days. I knew the Lord when I was a little boy. But about the time I discovered girls and had a car, boy, I rebelled against God from about 16, age 16, to age 33. And I won't even go into all that, but trust me, it was bad. Sin will bring you low. And God sent somebody after me, and that's not the lesson today either, but God sent somebody over into the business world. I wasn't in church. I wasn't going to go back to church, and God knew that, but he still wasn't willing to live, to go through eternity without Gary. Sorry. It's over 40 years ago, and still his mercy and his love astound me. He wasn't willing to do without me, so he sends this guy named Michael Muccio over into the business world to get me. Long story, but we started attending a Bible study little by little, little by little, as I began to understand the Word again, and the Holy Spirit began dealing with my heart. And I'll never remember, it was the 4th of July, 1980. Just happened to be the 4th of July, helps me remember it. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, Sue wasn't there that night. At home, I was by myself in the living room. Boy, the conviction of the Holy Ghost was all on me. I've been listening to a couple of those cassette tapes. That'll date it a little bit. A couple of those cassette tapes that we'd made of Michael Muccio's Bible study. I wanted to make sure I understood what he was saying. By myself in the living room of our house, I remember I didn't quite do the same as the prodigal son, but it was, sorry. Boy, it just comes flooding back. I said, Lord, you know that I walked away from you. You were so gracious to save me as a little boy. And I remember talking with you and fellowship with you for years. But just like the prodigal, I left for the world. And I've spent all these years out there in the world just in sin. But Lord Michael Muccio, you sent him. I know you did. And he's been telling me that you'll take me back if I repent. And I remember saying these words. At the time, I wasn't sure. I said, Lord, I'm not sure if you'll take me back. But I'm asking you to. And I make you a promise. If you'll take me back, I promise you, you will never have to come looking for me again. Well, can you tell he took me back? Thank God. Thank God he did. He took me back, and this time I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I never had that before. Being the baptism in the Holy Ghost makes a difference. He also helps us with our infirmities. Can't teach on that today either. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. But he took me back, and the rest is history, as they say. It's been a wonderful journey from 1980 until, what is this, 2023. We're still going. I still feel like my whole life's ahead of me. I'm only 76. Okay, well, that brings us up to really the story for today. See, because really we're talking about the elder son. Now, let's pick it up with that part. I want to read it directly from the Word now, this part. Luke 15, you can follow along with me. Luke 15, verses 25 through 32. So, get the picture. There's a party going on. They have killed the fatted calf. The prodigal son has come home. They put the robe and the sandals and the ring, and there's this big party and dancing and music. You know, it says, heaven rejoices more over one sinner that repents than all these others that don't need repentance. I mean, there's a party going on. Okay, Luke 15, starting in verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. That's the father's fields. He's out. He's where he's supposed to be. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him, well, what does this mean? What's going on? And he said unto him, now notice this, I love this wording. The servant said to the elder son, thy brother is come. And the father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Notice the servant says, thy brother is come. You'll notice later as we go through this story, the elder son will never call him his brother. When he's talking with the father, he said, this thy son is come. See, really, this was a message to the Pharisees. And that's another whole lesson, but it's really, this parable is teaching about the Pharisees, because the Pharisees didn't care about the sinners at all. They were astounded that Jesus would go spend time with these wretched sinners, you know, and they just couldn't understand it. And anyway, that's, again, listen to that message on the serving son. It'll bless you. All right, back to this. So we got a specific thing. Today we're talking about going from formula to relationship, so I got to stay narrowly focused on that. So, again, verse 27. The servant said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And this elder son, he was angry and would not go in. So, therefore, the father came out and entreated him. He said, come on in, son. But he, this elder son, answering, said to the father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, okay, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Now, a kid, if you look, I looked it up, that's a young goat. Big difference between a little goat and a fatted calf, okay? One is worth a few dollars, one is worth many dollars, okay? You never even gave me a kid. Now, the implication is much less a fatted calf. You never even gave me a little goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as, now notice, he doesn't say, but as soon as my brother came, he doesn't say that. But as soon as this thy son, I won't even call him his brother. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. Why is Jesus with these filthy sinners? Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, the father said, now see, the father says to the son, the father says unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Now notice this. This is so important. And all that I have is thine. Son, let that sink in for a minute. Son, all that I have is thine. If you want to put a word to that, what would you call that? Inheritance. Now trust me when I say, employees do not inherit. Sons inherit. You ladies out there, now remember, in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. If I can be the bride of Christ, you can be a son. Okay. With my hairy legs, I'm called a bride. I'm part of the bride of Christ, okay? And okay, if I'm part of the bride, you can be a son. You have as much inheritance as any male. But now look at that again. All, now this is the father talking to the son. All that I have is thine. We'll come back to that in a minute. It was meet, it was good, that we should make merry and be glad. Notice how the father refers to him. He doesn't say, for this my son. He does in another place. But here he says, for this thy brother. He's trying to reconcile. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. Man, oh man, oh man. Now let's, every word in this is so divine. Every word is so perfectly placed. This is such a perfect illustration of a son. See, the elder son is a son here in this parable. He is a son, but he, okay, let me just stick with the notes here. You'll see it. The elder son was laboring in the field. Well, listen, that's what sons do. That's what Jesus did. The field was the world. And he was laboring in the world trying to reap a harvest of sinners for the Father. That's, you labor in the field. Jesus, you know, was by choice. He is the fully mature son, and all that the Father has is his, but by choice, he has chosen to be in the field laboring in his Father's kingdom. Well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But notice, the elder son was laboring in the field, and the servant said, thy brother is come. And the elder referred to him as, no, that's the father's son. That's no brother of mine. Notice when the father came out, the elder son says to him, this is basically, if you go back and look at it, he says, I have served in your fields many years. See, the problem with this elder son, he is a son. But he doesn't spend any time with his father. If he, we say, well, Gary, how can you say that? Because he didn't know his father's heart at all. He thought the father should have been angry with the prodigal son, that he should not have received him back, that he should have punished him, that there should have been some kind of, I mean, for sure you don't throw a party for the guy. I mean, he did not understand his father's heart at all. And the reason for that, he never spent any time with him. His whole relationship with his father was based on his work in the field. He didn't say, when I teach at length on this, what if one day he said, you know, I'm tired. I haven't spent any time with my father in the longest time. I'm going to swing by the Krispy Kreme and get a dozen donuts. And after that, I'll go by Starbucks and get a couple of Ventes, you know, and I'm going to go by there and see if the father's got, you know, just sit down with my dad. And so can you imagine him coming in the house and sitting down with the father in there, you know, munching on donuts and, you know, having lattes. And, and you know, he's trying to, he hadn't fellowshiped with his father in forever. He'd just been out doing the work, you know. But as he's fellowshipping with his father, maybe they're sitting at a little table. I like to pick, maybe there's a big picture window over on that wall over there, you know. And he's fellowshipping with the father, and the father's enjoying the fellowship, but he just notices every now and then, the father, he'll look out that picture window. He'll look. Then he'll talk and fellowship some more with the elder son, but every now and then he'll look out that window again. And finally, see, the elder son would have asked him, he'd say, I notice you keep looking out the picture window that looks down the road there. What are you looking for? What are you hoping to see when you look out that window? And the father would have said to him, well, I'm hoping today is the day that your brother comes home. I'm looking for my son. He's lost, and I want him back. Now, see, that would have been the beginning of a whole change of life for that elder son. He might would have gone something like, what? I thought you'd be mad at him. You want him to come home? I had no idea. And if they would have continued in fellowship, not just that day, but the next day and the next day, you know what would have happened? The love of the father for that prodigal son would eventually start getting into the elder son, to the point one day he might go, well, Father, if you want him to come home that bad, he may not know you want him home. Would you like for me to go look for him? And if he does, that's the ministry of an evangelist has been born, to go seek and save that which is lost. Oh, it's just so good. But you can tell by the conversation here that that didn't happen. This elder son had no relationship with his, had, well, let's say it this way. He did have the relationship. He is the father's son, but he had no fellowship. So the way he relates to the father, well, I've been in your fields. I've worked out in your fields. Let me go to the next one. Notice he said, I've never transgressed your commandment. In other words, he's saying, I lived a holy life. Well, that's good. Is it good to work in the field? Sure it is. Is it good to live a holy life? Absolutely, we're supposed to live a holy life. But he's going, but see, it's so telling when he says, I've labored in your fields. I've lived a holy life before you. You never gave me even a young goat that I might make. You never even gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. Notice it. He doesn't say with you and my friends. Still no fellowship with the father. If you gave me a goat, I'd go have a party with my friends. I'm not sure I'd invite you, Dad. I might be going too far there, but anyway. Then he says, "You have killed the fatted calf for this your son." He hasn't. In other words, the implication is, he hasn't labored in your fields like I have. He for sure has not lived a holy life like I have. What's the implication? Well, he's not earned your blessing like I have. There it is. He is focusing on performance and not on relationship. He's focusing on performance. He's trying to earn something. See, you can't earn an inheritance. You can work for wages, but inheritance comes by birth, my brothers and sisters. You've got to be born into that family. Now, so you can see that I didn't look it up for you, but I'm hearing it. Jesus tells about the I think it was a publican and a Pharisee. And the Pharisee comes and he's praying right next to this wicked sinner publican, you know. And so the Pharisee, he's all lofty and he's going, he's like, I thank you that I'm not like these other men. I give tithes of all and I fast so many days a week and I does all this. I don't tell him what all he really said. But the publican, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He just beat his chest and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Well, that's what's happened here with the prodigal. And Jesus plainly said, now, it's that sinner that went home justified. Whew. You don't approach God with your performance. But that's exactly what the elder son is doing. I'm going to say it again. He says, he's not labored in your fields like I have. He has not lived a holy life like I have. Implication, he hasn't earned your blessing like I have, but you never gave me a kid. How is he relating as a son, or is he relating by performance? It's definitely by performance. Now notice the first word out of the father's mouth. I want to find it again. And this is in verse 31. And he, the father, said unto him, here's the first word out of the father's mouth, because he is going to laser focus this conversation to the true issue. He's going, I've labored in your fields, I've lived a holy life, I've earned your blessings. But the father doesn't talk about that at all. The first word out of his mouth is, son. Son, thou art ever with me. Can I say it a different way? You are family. You're mine. Now notice what he says to me. And all that I have is thine. Today's language, all that I have is yours. Now what's he talking about? Is he talking about wages here? He's talking about inheritance, isn't he? Son, not employee, son, all that I have is thine. It was good that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. This thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. The first word out of the father's mouth is designed to laser focus this conversation where it needs to be. You are my son. You are not a servant. You are not an employee. You are not a slave. You are my son. Do you know what the elder son has done with his life? He has actually done what the prodigal intended to do. The prodigal, he's formulating how he's going to approach his father, and he says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. This is repentance. That's good. I'm no more worthy. I'll just make me as one of your hired servants. And the father didn't want that, did he? I mean, he stopped him in mid-sentence, wouldn't even let him say that part. No, no, no. This is my son. You come bring the robe, bring the sandals, bring the signet ring, which is the family authority in the family name. He didn't want more employees. He wanted his son back. But this elder son, by his action, has done that very thing. He has made himself like a hired servant, where what he receives is based on his performance rather than inheritance. And I'm telling you, 99.9% probably of all of us, including yours truly in the body of Christ, that is so easy to slip back into, because we want to serve God. We want to do good. We want to accomplish the mission, whatever he gives us to do. It is so easy to slip back over into that performance mindset where all of a sudden now, maybe you didn't say it out loud, but gee, I wonder why I'm barely making it. Well, are you relying on, are you an employee in this house, or are you a son in this house? What are you? Okay. This elder son had done what the prodigal had intended to do, and that was to establish a hired servant relationship instead of a sonship relationship. But see, the father wanted sons, and he wanted fellowship with his sons. See, you'll see Jesus. Jesus is for sure the son who worked in the father's fields. Nobody works like him. But you'll also see him going apart by himself. He would send everybody else away. He would stay on the mountain. He would pray all night. Other times, he would get up way before dawn. Why? To spend time with his father. He knew that he was a son. He knew that fellowship was so important. Oh, my goodness. We've got to get out of the mindset of being a hired employee. Listen, He'll take, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Of course he takes care of us. But we're sons. In that same, that's Matthew 6 I'm talking about. And in that same teaching, Jesus says, listen, he takes care of the birds and they're his pets. He takes care of the lily, and that's in his garden. If he provides for the pets and he provides for the lily, won't he provide for you, his own children? Aren't you more valuable than they? And you could go, yes, we are. Well, then stop worrying. You're free. You're free to serve in the kingdom. He'll provide for you. Okay, that was extra. That was free. That's all free anyway. But the Father wanted sons, and he wanted fellowship with his sons. See, now the truth of it is, here's the Father speaking to them, and I'm telling you, I'll give you chapter and verse here in just a minute, speaking to you too. This is what he said to him. Son, all that the Father has was theirs by inheritance. What does inheritance mean? What my Father has is mine. You know why the elder son never had a kid? Never got a goat or a calf or whatever. You ever hear of a verse that says you have not because you ask not? You have not because you ask not. Boy, see, it changed my life. When I started understanding these things, Sue and we have not because we ask not. We have an inheritance. We can just ask our Father. Man, we became askers. And I'm telling you, those early days, we needed everything. We needed computers. We needed printers. I mean, trying to do the work of the ministry. We needed cassette tapes. We needed this, and we needed that. We needed our bills paid. And he started talking to me, but why don't you ask me for, you know, how much money do you need? I said, well, I don't know how much money I need. Well, you ever hear of a budget? Okay. And there, I can tell you stories about us making our first budget. He wasn't happy with the first one I made because, man, I made that thing so stingy. There was hardly enough extra in that budget for a stick of gum, you know, and he wasn't happy with that. He says, is that who you think I am? Well, you think I'm so strict that, you know, I want you living on bread and water after you pay your bills? He said, loosen that up some. Anyway, we'll get into that later in later lessons. Yeah, okay, I lose words because I don't want to be disparaging. You would be amazed at the Christians that I've tried to counsel over the years and help with these things. And these are people that have maybe they've raised a family. They're empty nesters. And still, their whole life, they've never had a budget. Or young couples with a family. And I say, well, you know, how much do you need? I mean, what's your budget? And it's like they blink, 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 like what? I just said a foreign word that they've never heard. It's amazing. These are practical, real things. If you're going to be a steward of the kingdom finances, a good friend of mine, I hope you're watching. I'm not going to say your name. I love you like everything, but I'll never forget the day. See, I was with him in the car. We went by the bank because he wanted to go by the ATM and get some money out, you know. And, you know, with me, every time I would do that, there was a little receipt that would print, and I'd take that receipt and put it in my pocket because later that evening, I'm going to write that down in my check register, right? You know, but I noticed when the receipt came, he just threw it in the trash and we went on. I noticed a couple of times he did that. I said, hey, don't you make record of that? How will you know, you know, when you're out of money? He said, they'll tell me when I'm out of money because they won't give me any more. Oh, my God. Well, I love you like a brother. You know I do. He's not like that today. I'm not going to say who it is, but he's a minister, got his own church, and doing really good. God's using him in signs and wonders, and I think, hey, we've all done some growing up. I'm pretty transparent. I tell you all lots of my growing up stories, but that's one of his. Okay. Listen, we've got to get the mindset that we are sons with a vast inheritance. You get to thinking about how rich your Father is. You know, The gold is mine, says the Lord. The silver is mine, says the Lord. The cattle on 1,000 hills, and I got to tell you, on 1,000 more hills. All the cattle on all the hills really is his. How far below our inheritance are we really living? See, and at the same time, your mind has to be renewed to a kingdom mindset, because he's not interested in setting up a bunch of spoiled, bratty sons of God whose only interest is bigger cars and mansions and swimming pools and vacations either. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we're supposed to grow up into the image of Christ, become mature sons who serve by choice, just like the one we've been made in the image of, Jesus Christ. You get like that? Somebody asked a minister one time, said, because he was pretty famous for having answered prayer, you know. He would ask, he would teach real strong, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. And boy, he had testimony after testimony. I've asked for this and got it. I've asked for this and got it. All these things. Somebody asked him, asked one time, said, you reckon God would give him a Cadillac if he asked for it? And the answer was, well, I think God would give him a freight train if he asked for it. But see, if you really knew this, who they were talking about, that freight train or the Cadillac, either one, is going to be in the service of the kingdom of God, because he's sold out. Sold out. God will give you anything. I double dog dare you to say this. Let me give you a couple more verses, and then I'll double dog dare you. That's Oklahoma double dog. Boy, that's a strong dare right there. The elder son had not because he asked not. Why didn't he ask? Because his lack of fellowship with the Father, even though he had relationship, he was the Father. He said, you're ever with me. You didn't ever lose his relationship as a son. But his lack of fellowship caused him to develop a hired servant mentality. In his mind, that meant everything that he would get had to be earned by performance, not received by inheritance. And I'm telling you, the whole body of Christ is like that, the vast majority. Here's the other verse I wanted to share with you before I double dog dare you. Go to John 16, look at verse 15. Man, I remember the day when this verse just stood up off the page to me and said, oh my God. John 16, 15, Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he says, all things that the Father has are mine. Does that not sound like inheritance? All things that the Father hath are mine. That's the same thing that the Father said to that elder son. Got it? Here is the elder son saying the same thing. All things that the Father hath are mine. Now notice though, therefore, because of that, said I, that he shall take of mine. It's about the Holy Spirit now. That he, the Holy Spirit, if you leave it in context, shall take of mine. Mine what? My inheritance. And show it unto you. Why? Are we just, we're supposed to be like, ooh, look at all that the Father has blessed Jesus with. Look, oh my goodness, Jesus could ask for anything and the Father would do it. And are we supposed to just sit there and like, that's the whole purpose of him showing it to us is, ooh, look at all. No, it's because you have been made a son also. You have been made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If you were right now sitting in a room with the Father, he might very well say the same thing to you he said to that elder son. He would say, son, you are ever with me. All that I have is yours. That is going to change your approach. That's a pretty good introduction to going from formula to relationship. We'll continue it next time. Bye-bye for now.